back to Talk Podfer, available on all of your favorite podcast platforms. You can also interact with the show on Twitter at Tottenham Pod, Instagram at Podspur, and on our Facebook page at Tottenham Podspur. You can also visit our website at podspur.com to check out the blog and find all of the Podspur accounts to stay up to date on everything Podspur. There will be a link in this episode description with a link to all those accounts and the website, so please follow the show and click subscribe to join the conversation. We're coming at you, it's about 7:15, 7:10 Eastern time on Wednesday, June 29th, 2022. I'm joined, as always, by my trusty co-host, Dustin Ace Gentile. Dustin, I'm sorry. What's up, my friend? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. Just hanging out in Kentucky. It's not incredibly humid today, so it's been kind of nice, and getting ready for a little family time tomorrow with grandparents coming over to see new house we bought for the first time. So nice. You know, doing some cleaning and listening to some podcasts.
Congratulations with that. It's a pretty exciting day as far as THFC goes. Richarlison reportedly done. We should be closing that deal within the next 24 hours, according to some sources. And then we're also expected to see the arrival of Clement Lenglet from Barcelona, center back. And we've brought in Dan from the Barcelona pod to join us. So, Dan, first off, how's everything going with you, my friend?
It's pretty good. I mean, the summer transfer window for Barcelona is quite interesting with their financial struggles that we're going to talk about, I think, that directly relate to Clement Lenglet. So it's been interesting. We've heard Lewandowski, Frankie de Jong to Manchester United, Dembélé. So I actually have a show that I'm currently editing as we speak. So I took a quick break to talk to you guys. We'll go back and that'll be out tonight. So yeah, I mean, we're summertime. So trying to do one show a week. But again, the Barcelona madness, the chaos, the drama Lona, whatever you want to call it, never stops. So yeah, it's fun. Just the content machine.
Awesome. I guess while we have you on here, you're from NYC, correct?
I'm actually originally from Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Obviously here in the U.S. And now my wife and I live in Long Island. So we actually bought our house here in Long Island, Dustin, just over a year ago. So
cool.
We're still figuring out, even a year later, we're still putting it all together. But I got my office here all set up. I know this is audio, but yeah, my office is all set up, all dedicated to all the different things I do.
Yeah,
trying to make some kind of master control over here. So,
well, Dan, you can see behind me, I'm kind of in the same thing. Or I teach like Matt does, and over spring break, I painted and we got things arranged. And my wife, we bought our house in October. My wife's degree is in interior design, so she's got some good tips to make it all look nice and pretty.
Dustin brought it up, so I do have to ring that alarm. School is back in session at Podspur. This is an extra credit episode as we will be coming at you weekly, but we felt the need to kind of drop one tonight to get a little more intel on Clement Lenglet from.
I mean, Barcelona. Matt, I can handle it. I was actually a pretty good student, so
there you go. There you go. Well, you got a PE teacher and a math teacher, so you got kind of both ends of the spectrum as far as things there. But great to have you on. I guess first off, you know, how did a guy from Pennsylvania and now New York become a Barcelona fan? And, you know, tell us how you kind of got into podcasting about Barcelona.
Yeah, I mean, the sport of, I'm not sure if you guys do football or soccer on here, but the sport of soccer was not too big in rural Pennsylvania. But I did play it. I was short, I was fast, and it worked out. And so my only ways of watching it or interacting it were, playing the old FIFA games, FIFA 2001 and the predecessor to that, FIFA 98. And I always just liked even the color scheme of Barcelona, going back to the days of Rivaldo. But then when Ronaldinho, I was just about to enter, well, I was in high school. Ronaldinho was doing his thing. So I started to, on these grainy feeds or wherever I could find it, on VHS tapes, whatever, I found some Barcelona. It was Ronaldinho. And then this guy named, I can never remember his name, Lionel Messi, I think is it. So he started doing things at the Camp Nou. And once you've seen Xavi and Iniesta and Messi, you know, that's where I took my fanhood from, you know, kind of enjoying it to, okay, this is my primary thing. This is what I'm going to do. I also love basketball, hockey. I mean, I work in sports, so I've worked for Major League Baseball. I work for all these different things. My life is sports. I do on-air work, on-air talent do play-by-play and all that stuff. But, you know, in my spare time, if you will, it was Barcelona. And then the last 5 years with the podcast, I wrote for a blog over the last 10 years, and that has become a larger and larger portion of my life as it's continued to be more professionalized for me. Our podcast, again, has been around for 5 years. We have a ton of people that are expecting that content, so all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, the Barcelona podcast has, if anything, reinforced my fanhood. I've also had the great opportunity last season I worked with the club itself with the Twitch channel, and you're always worried at those kind of interactions that they're going to spoil on something. But the people at the club were wonderful to deal with. You know, I went over there in 2017 for a honeymoon, even. So nice. At this point, I'm all in. I think we're. I mean, I'm going to see them at the end of July. They have a friendly at Red Bull Arena, which is only like an hour and a half away or less.
Perfect.
So I am excited to see them in person again for the first time in 5 years. And yeah, so that's how it happened. It was just they play away, and I think you can understand this too at Tottenham. They play away. That attracts me to the sport. Like they play, at times it's dogmatic. At times the fan base is eating itself. It's cannibalistic at times, especially on the internet, on Twitter, social media, all that stuff. Because winning is not enough. Trophies even for Barcelona in the last 10 years are not enough. You have a lot of young fans who are just, all they know is trophies, and that's their expectation. Not understanding that Barcelona, they lost for a long, long time. They were not only the little brothers in Spain, but they were losing Champions Leagues. They were losing UEFA Cups in the 80s and the early 60s. And they were having trouble for a long, long time. And this whole change of fortune, that's not really who they are, right? And again, with Tottenham, you guys can understand that you have supporters that are like, hey, top four guaranteed. That's who we are. We're Tottenham Hotspur. But, you know, you got to at least you can't take for granted the winning when it happens, because sometimes it doesn't.
That's very well said. You got to appreciate that. So again, thank you for hopping on. We're going to talk all about Clement Lenglet and the real reason why Dan's on Tottenham Hotspur, but we'll do that right after this short break. Welcome back to Tottenham Hotspur. We're joined by Dan from the Barcelona podcast to talk all about Clement Lenglet supposedly coming into Tottenham, seemingly a done deal on loan, and what type of player he is. We got a lot of feedback from you, the listener, on Twitter. So if you are not already, please follow us on Twitter at Tottenham Pod. And have your voice heard on all of these shows as well. So, Dustin, go ahead, kick us off.
All right. So, Dan, our first question is coming from a big fan of the big supporter of the show, one of our Spurs boys, Graham at Big White Heartline. He says, can we have some insights into the strengths and weaknesses, please? Personally, based on what we can see of his highlights, he is good in the air and can play the ball with at his feet, but that is the highlights. Give us the lowdown.
Yeah, I think for Clement Lenglet, you know, not to make this more philosophical, but I think he's a player that function matters when we're asking the question of what is his purpose on the field and what is the system that he's playing in. I think to answer who he's going to be for Tottenham is really important, because you're going to, especially if you look on Kool-Aid or Barcelona Twitter, he's been eviscerated for the last year and a half. They're done with him. They're pushing him to the curb, of course. But I think Clement Lenglet in the right system makes a ton of sense. And again, going back to my earlier point about Barcelona being dogmatic, to the point where Frankie de Jong is currently in rumors to go to Manchester United, because even Frankie de Jong, who was what, seventh in Ballon d'Or voting his last year at Ajax, is a world-class midfielder. And yet he doesn't totally fit in what Barcelona are trying to do, what they're trying to achieve. Again, the whole point of FC Barcelona is to not only win trophies, but to win it playing a certain way, with a certain style, with a certain type of player. And even when Clement Lenglet was signed from Sevilla at the age of 23 a few seasons ago, he never really truly was the center back that Barcelona needed, but he was a defensive center back that fit a need for the manager at the time, which was Ernesto Valverde. And so his highlights are that he's just a good defender. He's a good defender, a sturdy defender. He's left-footed, and in his time at Barcelona, he's gotten much better on the ball. So again, what are the expectations? At Barcelona, as a center back, your expectation is to break two lines, to break down multiple lines. But I think in the Premier League, especially when teams are in a low block, those low blocks are, we'll say, drawn out a bit more in the Premier League just because of the ball moving vertically a lot more than it does in the Liga, right? In the Liga, it's a lot more horizontal. It's a lot more buildup, trying to break lines from the back forward. So the center backs at Barcelona are trying to, again, try to basically get through a bunch of guys sitting down in front of the goal. While in the Premier League, I think it's going to be a lot more opened up. And so his ability to play the ball, there's going to be a lot more space for him. And I think he can hit those passes, right? He can hit the small windows, but I think he's actually going to be better than he was at Barca in a lot of those ways. And again, the defensive part of it, you know, I know we have a question coming up about some of his issues. We'll get to that. But I think the positive spin of that is that, especially under Ernesto Valverde in the 2018-19 season, which again feels like a lifetime ago, but that was his best season, I think, as a professional. He fit so well in that 4-4-2 when his primary role was to focus on defending. Just don't make mistakes, focus on that, and do your job. And that was when we saw the best version of him.
Speaking of that, we're talking about defending. Do you see him more, and this comes from MJ Marble or at MJ Marble on Twitter, is he someone you see better that fit into a back three system or a back two?
You know, because he's a left-footed center back, I think he's going to be useful wherever you need him because he is very much left-footed. He defends well with his right, but again, his passing is primarily going to come from the left. He's also, it's not that he's, I wouldn't put him as a left back. Let's put it that way. Like, I would not ever have him out on an island as a left back. But in the rare occasions, we did see Kike Setien now, was it two seasons ago, try that out a bit with him in this back three. And that, again, was about function, about purpose, where the whole team didn't really vibe. It didn't really fit. It didn't really work out. The results weren't going their way. The Bayern Munich 8-2, I don't want to talk about that. But, you know, those kind of things happen. But again, it's not all that was pinned on Clément Lenglet. I think his mistakes happened whether he was in a three-back system, which Barca doesn't do very often, or in a four-back system. So I think he's going to thrive either way because he's a left-footed center back, right? It's not that you're worrying that you're going to have to put three right-footed center backs all at the same time. And again, this is for you guys to respond to as well. Like, how dogmatic are we about having a left-footed center back on the left? Or right for the center back. Like, how much does modern football really care about that?
I'm a big proponent of the left-footed left center back.
I was just about to say last week when I brought up the name Gleason Bremer, or Bremer, Matt gave me a nice little, come on, Dusty's a right-footed left center back. But
I think it's, you know, going to your MLB talk, Dan, I think it's like having a right-handed first baseman. You know, that's what I equate it to.
Yeah, it's funny because, I for 6 years I watched it. I don't care. I mean,
to each their own, you know. I think getting to what you alluded to and some of the questions you'd be answering here, I think we'll start with kind of the million-dollar question with a good friend of the Spurs Boys chat, Ed Brad, at Eddie_Brad, said, why are Barcelona loading him out?
The primary reason is financial. I mean, you could say it's a sporting reason, but underlying all of what's happened with Barcelona financially, and I think, you know, the truth coming from someone who's, you know, tuned in the club every day, if you are hearing about the catastrophe, if you're one of those, like, again, neutrals who are hearing about Barca are they completely broke, they're in catastrophe, that's not entirely true. But anybody who also hasn't heard anything and believes that Barcelona is still these financial giants at the moment, that's also not true, right? The truth is somewhere a little bit in the middle. And so they're desperately, because of financial fair play, which apparently only exists for certain clubs that aren't Man City and PSG and some of the like, but for clubs that actually have to deal with financial fair play, they want to desperately get his wages off the books because he's paid like a starting center back. He is not paid as a third center back. And he's also not paid as a center back that doesn't really fit in Xavi's system, that doesn't really fit Xavi's vision for what Barcelona are going to do.
Dan, what is his weekly wage right now? Do you know off the top of your head?
Weekly wage. Well, I can tell you his annual wage, I believe, is around $6
million. Okay.
So breaking his weekly wage, I mean, for Barcelona, he's somewhere around the middle of the pack to upper crust of what Barcelona has. But again, he's not a starter. So if you're not in the starting 11, you can't be making top seven player money. And so getting his wages off the books for the financial fair play aspect of it so they could bring on those free agent signings of Christensen and Kessié is just imperative. And the other thing, too, especially you've seen Gareth Bale at Real Madrid is more famous than any Barca example, but you know how hard it is when you have players living in the city of Barcelona and making 6 million euros a year or 5 million euros a year or 7 million euros a year and asking them to go play somewhere else. They'd rather sit on a beach in Barcelona and collect their paycheck. And that's what a lot of those big clubs are dealing with. And you're paying guys those major wages. Why would they want to go somewhere else, leave the city, and potentially leave their family for a year to go on loan or whatever? So Lenglet is basically the first one who has, we'll say, value. You know, Samuel Umtiti, Miralem Pjanic, Martin Brathwaite, even Ricky Pooj. Like, you're talking about players, Ricky Pooj is cheap, but you're talking about players that are making wages at other clubs, even the Premier League. They say, well, you have no leverage, so why would we take on your player? Lenglet, again, if you're going to give him $6 million a year, and or at least if Tottenham are going to pay those wages, then I think you're paying him to be a starter. And but at $6 million, if he can be a starter in the Premier League, then that's actually a fair value for him there, right? And so that's really what this deal is for him. I mean, he knows, unlike Umtiti, who his career, he's on the back end. I know he's only 28, unfortunately, but those knee injuries, he's like 35 in knee time. And as well as even Martin Brathwaite, he knows he's going to the World Cup with Denmark. But Lenglet is fighting for a World Cup spot, right? He's on the peripheral of that. He's on the bubble. And maybe he can earn it if he really shines the Premier League for 4 months. So, I mean, he's also just turned 27 less than 2 weeks ago. So he's entering the prime of his career as well. And unlike, again, those other names I just mentioned, who, again, Pjanic is over 30, whatever, Lenglet is is able to make this deal because it's a do it or don't deal for Clement Lenglet. Who, again, I think Tottenham is getting him at him on loan at his lowest point in his career, where he did make some mistakes. He was prone to errors here and there. But again, certainly you're getting him at the worst version of him. And there is certainly a long way back up for him, a player that, again, probably deserved. He was a little bit young to go to the 2018 World Cup, but he would have, if the World Cup was in 2019, he would have gone. He probably would have been a starter because he was immediately introduced heavily after that World Cup.
I do like the mention about, you know, fighting for the World Cup spot, and who better to play in front of than your World Cup club captain and Hugo Lloris in the back line. So that could be interesting with that kind of connection there. We are seeing from several Spurs sources that, like, you know, he's being brought in as the Ben Davies backup, and that, you know, he kind of offers some cover for there. Have you seen him play at central center back at all, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, especially for one season where they were, again, Kike Setien and even Koeman when he would experiment. We usually did see him as the left center back, but there was a game or two where Pique would be injured. And I wouldn't, again, get caught up in the weeds of exactly where he fits in a three-back system or a four-back system along the back line. But again, right, what his function is to just simply defend. Because, you know, I don't think it fits this, but I didn't realize the center back situation at Tottenham was what it was at this point. Because yes, there's Ben Davies, but I mean, between Romero, Sanchez, and Dyer, all I think center backs truly are right around the same place that Lenglet fits. I don't think he's any less than them, but he also doesn't immediately come in and on paper is better than those three or four in Davies. I think he is going to have the ability this season for Tottenham to get a regular rotation spot. Because again, I think all the names I just mentioned, as you watch at Tottenham, have the ability to play themselves out of a starting spot, all of them. But and Lenglet's the same way. He can make a mistake or two that's going to get him on the bench, and you're going to try out somebody else. But then let's say Sanchez makes two or three different mistakes, and now he's back on the bench. And Lenglet, he wasn't so catastrophic that he's not going to get another chance. So I think all these guys this season are going to get a ton of chances to earn consistent starting spots. And again, with the number of competitions that Tottenham plays, you know, it's just a good spot for Lenglet to get minutes, to get time, and he'll be a part of that rotation.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, kind of the mistakes and errors, and Eric Dyer's name comes up, and I think as Spurs fans, we're kind of used to the brain fart from Eric Dyer, and that was Ed's follow-up question. It was, you know, how likely is he to a brain fart? And, you know, you mentioned he is kind of prone to a mistake here and there. What type of mistake are we talking about? Are we talking about a high and dry challenge, or are we talking about playing the ball directly into, you know, the middle and getting torched one-on-one back?
No. I mean, so often it is the ball bouncing up in the wrong way. Like a lot like Eric Garcia, the former Man City center back too. I mean, they're very different players, sure, but he's accused of that at Barcelona now. And I think when we say brain farts, we're talking about different things, right? We're talking about the guys that really get caught out because they're way too high up the field. Fullbacks get caught for that more, or center backs that, especially young center backs, well, they'll misjudge the space. But when he commits his brain farts or his errors, it's when a top level, like we're talking Karim Benzema level, we're talking those guys, when they find a way to undress him by either, again, the ball bounces up in the wrong way, it's a handball, or he'll be a bit too physical. So I'm also interested to see, too, that transition to the Premier League, where in the Liga, I think the center forwards are, I'll admit, a little bit more willing to go down, a little easier. So I think the physicality of the Premier League is also going to support him as well. I think he was, of Barcelona's center backs in recent times, I mean, I think Mascherano half a decade ago was the last who had the same physicality as he does. You know, Pique has the flair, but he also, you know, he can get physical and whatever, but Clement Lenglet's game is built on that physicality. And so I do believe it's Premier League is going to support that. And I would say, you know, the other thing too is the way in which he is set up to succeed or fail. If Tottenham are going to play a high line and have him be the center back that reacts to the danger, I think you're going to have hits and misses. I think he's actually going to do a better job of that than expected. I think he's a center back that reacts pretty well. He's not quick. He's not a quick center back to make up that space, but he has good reaction time and understands where he needs to be if you're going to play a high line. And if you're going to drop in or play a medium block, or I wouldn't expect Tottenham to play a low block with your talent up top, but if they're going to play a medium block, he also has this spatial understanding of where he needs to be on the field to support that other center back, if that center back is the one that decides to get forward. So I think he does have some versatility in being able to understand where he fits in that, we'll say, the center back role hierarchy.
I guess you know I can kind of read where you're gonna go with this one, but are you familiar with the center back dogs versus cat debate?
I don't think so.
All right, so there's this whole I
No, I
guess
think I'm getting it. I think I'm getting
yeah
it. I'm immediately getting it.
there's this whole conversation online about center back defending styles. There are dogs versus cat. A dog would be a center back who sees the ball and frequently steps out to chase or press it. They are less likely to step away from the play and be conservative. This is a behavior that mirrors that of a dog. Some center backs see the ball and are more likely to step back away, often sweeping up behind the aggressive teammates instead. These players act more like a cat. So for comps, they have Christian Romero as a dog, Deo Upamecano as a dog. The cats would be Pau Torres and Rafael Varane. So there are some, you know, La Liga comps there for you as well. But
Yeah, I
interested to
mean,
get your take on Lingley and what he would be.
yeah, so next to PK, he was the dog because PK doesn't really have that the speed or that versatility. But I've also seen him when he's played for the French national team. Again, he has the ability to be the cat when he needs to be because, again, his foot, I could see him also getting foot speed wise kind of chased into that cat role, if you will, where he's kind of forced to be a cat in the Premier League, especially you don't see a lot, right? But especially when the other teams play a 4-4-2 and there's two quick or you have a really quick underneath secondary striker or what have you, and he's going to have trouble dealing with that guy. So you can't, I think it's going to be game to game. And I think his versatility, again, as a, just a good quality defender, especially if he gets time. And I think that's another thing with Lenglet, that time is going to be really important for him to be on the field. And if he can get a string of games, it's going to be tough for him, I think. He's always shown that if he's not playing consistently, that's when he's going to be more prone to mistakes. But the more he plays and the more chances he gets, the better he's going to be.
And that's really good because I think there's, you know, with the four competitions this year for Tottenham, the World Cup breaking things up, and everyone on our back line right now, minus Eric Dier, which, you know, subject to change, is competing in the World Cup. So that, you know, I think there will be some minutes after that for sure. So Dustin, go ahead, hop back in, buddy.
Yeah, let me follow up. You got on a really good top. We were talking about finances, and I kind of had a thought. So you said he's
Dustin
6 million.
is our math teacher
Yeah.
and numbers guy of the group.
So you said 6 million. I did, of course. I sat here and I did the math, and that's 115,000 a year. Or I'm sorry, 115,000 a week
Yep.
that he makes. It's a little bit more than that, but you know, for round purposes, we'll call it 115K. You know, I've read some different reports on how much of that is Spurs are taking on. What percentage of that do you expect Spurs to take on with that? Because I think I've done the math, and I was actually in the middle of an argument on a with somebody that Spurs only have, like, I think it's four players right now that are over 100K a week. So how much of that 115K would you expect Spurs to be taking on with the money situation at Barca?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're probably going to take up to 70 to 80%. I would actually expect that it would be more than you'd think, because I think for Lenglet, you could argue that he had more suitors than just Tottenham, right? Like, and Tottenham are one of the clubs that are in a financial position to kind of take on that money, right? And so his other options, that being Lenglet, I think he does have other options to potentially, you know, see that out farther. And I think Barca are getting to the point where they're in a situation where they obviously don't have the leverage. But I mean, if they cover that being Tottenham 80%, I think that fits all parties. But again, I have no idea. I mean, but again, I don't think Barca are going to completely be lambasted by that. You know, like he would have gone on loan in January if they were willing to do a 50-50 with somebody. So that's why I think it's a little bit higher. I think that Barca's have held the line on him almost for a whole year too. Even last year with Koeman, he was kind of already on his way out without it being of a starter.
Interesting take there. And I guess my final question to kind of, you know, wrap things up, and then I'll head to you, Dustin. But my kind of thing, do you see this turning into a permanent deal, Dan, or do you think this is simply just, hey, it's a 1 year loan?
Yeah, that's really, I mean, that's really interesting because at his number, as I said, if he's a starting center back in the Premier League, I could see Tottenham going for that number. If he's their starting center back, again, he's 27, contract until 2026 is already locked up, set at that number. So it's not like you have to give him a raise, just set it at that number. It's probably a bit too high, using quotes there. So yeah, he's a player in his prime. So if he plays well, I could see it being permanent. And if he doesn't play well, or if he doesn't end the season as the consummate starter, then he'll be on his way back. And I think it's going to be as simple as that. I think this is really going to be based on the performance that he's able to put forth and whether or not he can become that starter. And if he's not, yeah, then Tottenham won't pay that amount, and he'll be Barcelona's problem again until 2026.
Well said.
You know, one of the things I've heard about Lenglet is I just dropped my phone there, so it's all good. The big thing I've heard of is he's a really, really good passer. Can you speak to that? Is he more like kind of a short, quick kind of passer, or is he want to pick out a ping? How would you assess his passing ability?
Well, it improved. And I think his long passing with that left foot is something that still, again, world football has not figured out, those left-footed center backs, when they're able to break down that line, because, again, so many players kind of shade, right? They shade to the right, and then you can get them off balance going to their left, and then there's always a hole there for those left center backs to try to play a pass. Again, he's improved over time, and, you know, it is unfortunate because, once more, in the Barcelona system, he is being compared to Piqué, to Eric Garcia, who, when looking at the advanced metrics, when you talk about their progressive passing, they're both in like the 98th percentile, the 97th percentile. And even when Umtiti was on the top of his game back in right before the World Cup, and he didn't have the surgery and his knees went, but even he was in the top 97%. He was just, you know, Barcelona are expecting, unless your name is Carlos Puyol, you've got to be a top caliber center back as far as passing, like Rafa Marquez before that. And that is just a part of the game. And again, for Lenglet, he always checked out as just being a pretty good passer, right? Just an okay passer. And if he's in, again, almost any other system that is not so reliant on their center backs, like an Ajax or Barcelona, that are so reliant on their center backs to basically be just midfielders at the back, right? Like, as far as like with the ball at their feet. So what kind of passer is he? I think he's going to be whatever passer you need him to be at Tottenham, no offense, but under Antonio Conte, and I've watched his teams before, the passer that you need in his system is just enough for Lenglet. I think that's the limit of what he's going to provide for you.
Cool. Definitely appreciate that, and definitely appreciate you taking the time to join us, Dan. Again, if you're listening, go check out the Barcelona pod. You can listen to Dan and all his takes on Barcelona. I know those of you that are listening are also wanting a Richarlison update, but you know, that one is very close, and we have a fellow American Premier League podcast lined up to talk with Richarlison if and when that does finally go through, and it looks oh so very close, and I know we're also very excited about that. But definitely wanted to get you some intel on Clement Lenglet, as we did hear that one was pretty much done, you know, as confirmed by every source out there. DiMarzio, I think, was one of the first ones to break it. So
I feel like I talked more about Clement Lenglet on your podcast than I have about him in the last 2 years.
Oh, that's not reassuring, Dan. But
it could go bad. I'm throwing that out there. It could go bad, but it could work out.
That's it. We'll see how it goes. You know, we're used to heartbreak. We are Spurs supporters. So before we do get out of here, Dustin, any final thoughts? Anything you got for us?
Not really. I mean, I'm just excited. I mean, it's always nice to get some business done. I know some people have been, you know, saying that we haven't done enough business in the past, 10, 11, 12 days. But, you know, got to be patient. We'll still line to honor our man, JR. You got to trust the process. And we're going to keep it going. It's been a really fun summer so far. And I think there's a lot more coming in down the line for us to talk about and us to be even more excited about.
Awesome. Dan, thank you again for joining. Any last words you have for us and our listeners?
I mean, if you want to watch the Liga, if you're thinking about watching something in Spain, then introduce yourself to FC Barcelona. They're on the way back up. Ansu Fati, Pedri. This is a perfect time. Again, you got a little eye on the Liga. Watch your Tottenham, sure. They're early in the morning, especially if you're in the U.S. They're early in the morning. La Liga, they do it the Spanish way, so it's more in the afternoon. So you can definitely hit up both a full Saturday.
Little siesta while you watch, right?
Huh?
Little siesta while you watch, right?
Sure. Yeah, yeah. So I would say Barcelona, introduction. I honestly, I was trying to think too, right before we ended, that are there any Tottenham-Barcelona connections? And there are not many other than, Gary Lineker. Mm-hmm. And other than Gary Lineker, I couldn't really think of anyone, or at least any in the modern time, because Barcelona really do pick, they pick from Arsenal for so many of their players. You know, Cesc Fabregas,
I have to bleep that out now. I have to bleep that out
I'm with you on that, Dan. I can't think. I was like, when have we played, like, other than the Champions League 18-19 in the group stage? That was it. Like, I can't think of. I think I do remember, and this was before I was into Premier League, into any of this. Didn't Spurs play Barcelona the first time in the knockout round, the first time they ever qualified for the Premier League, or the Champions League?
Barcelona knocked out Tottenham, you're saying?
Yeah, I think in 2011, the first year that Spurs played in Champions League, I think they ended up drawing Barca in the first round of the knockouts.
I think you're correct. Yeah.
I actually, it wasn't first round. It was the second round. It was the quarterfinal.
Yeah, and you did not want any part of 2011 Barcelona.
No, that was prime machine. Prime machine Barcelona. I gave Barcelona a huge shout-out in our Podspur WhatsApp chat the other day because I love your new away kit. I think the gold with the homage to the... Yeah,
I've hated the kits for the last few seasons, and I think they... The home kit still, I don't know, it's been 5 years. They haven't really figured it out. But the away kit is one of my favorite in recent memory. I like last year's too, the dedication of the Femini. That was nice, the lavender. Yeah. And then their third one that's going to come out is like gray with the St. George cross. And, you know, it's unfortunate, I have to say, because I know you're Tottenham, you wear white. But Real Madrid monopolizing the Blanco.
Los Blancos, yeah.
So frustrating because young Kool-Aid, I mean, not that I'm that old, but like Barcelona used to have white shorts. And it looks real sharp. And I can tell you, hosting a podcast, making content, I would love to use white as part of our palette, as part of our color scheme.
Right.
But because Real Madrid have completely monopolized it, it's frustrating. It's very difficult to design t-shirts and all that stuff and kit stuff.
We talk a lot about kits and stuff, you know, either on the air or in our group too. And that's why I'm a huge, like, not a fan of the red AIA on the front of our kit, because red is not our color and it's that of our biggest rivals. So,
I mean, like, to me, I think if it looks good, like, I'm fine. Just like, we're dead.
Right,
like,
right. I get the company. Their colors are red, but it's not red on the away kits. Make it navy. Yeah. It'll look great. Appease everyone. I think it's just a simple fix. Same thing with adding white into Barca. It could very well work.
It's hard for me coming from growing up, and I went to college right down the road from my house. So our school colors are red and white. And then being a Cincinnati Reds fan with red and white, and then come to Spurs, like, red's a no-no. It's like, but what about another context? How am I doing with that?
Yeah,
that's it. But thanks again, Dan, for joining us. That about wraps things up for this episode. Thanks for coming back home to Podspur. We appreciate your support. Again, if you're not already, please check out all the show's accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Follow each of the guys and check out our blog and website at podspur.com. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating and a review on whichever podcast platform you listen to. 5 stars goes a long way. And we will hope to see you next time. So thanks again for tuning in. I've been your host, as always, for Dustin and Dan. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next time. And as always, come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.